what you read from verse 9. Matthew chapter 6 from verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, what does he pray, friends? Because it's another very, very important passage that we're going to have a look at. Let's ask Jesus to help us. Lord, we're so grateful for the Bible, your inspired word. And in these days in which we live, we thank you that it in every way is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That as we read it, sometimes we are rebuked, other times we are corrected. Other times, Lord, we are instructed and trained and encouraged. And I pray, Lord, that you would please help me to open your word properly. And for all of us, Lord, teach us, please, how to pray. Amen. Now, a few weeks ago, we started this series with you and on how to pray. And I just want to read that for a moment, if I may, and then we're going to pick it up this evening. Interesting, isn't it, when you read in the New Testament, that the disciples never ever came to Jesus and asked him to teach them about any other issue except prayer. They never asked him to teach them how to preach, or how to be missionaries, or anything like that, or how to give, or how to use their time. But they did come to Jesus and say, Lord, teach us how to pray. I don't know about you, but I know my own life, that if there's one area where one longs to improve, it's in the area of prayer. Leonard Ravenhill has written a marvelous book called Why Revival Tarries. And in that book he says that so often our prayers become clockwork, cramped, and confused. And sadly for a number of Christians, that is the story. And their prayer times are quick. They just quickly utter a few words before they're off to school or varsity or the office or things are the morning on your day and a quick prayer. And maybe a quick prayer before you get into bed at night. But if we're honest, if we look back and we say, how really are my prayer times going? Do I really have times when I'm alone with God and pouring out my heart? There aren't many that would say they're getting better. So what Jesus does is he says to us, let me help you. The Lord's Prayer, in one sense, is not a prayer we should pray. Well, of course we do. It's a wonderful thing to do. But it's more than that. The Lord's Prayer is a model. Jesus says, this is how you pray. Now, what have we seen so far? The first thing that happens, friends, is it begins with worship. So tomorrow morning when you pray, that's where you start. Our Father, who art in heaven. And for a few moments, depends how much time you have, you're going to be caught up in that. And the thought that God, as we did just now in communion, has reached out to you and saved you and adopted you and me into his family. The fact that he has become our Father, who loves us and cares for us and provides for us and disciplines us, is overwhelming to us. Jesus, that's how you begin. Begin with our Father, who art in heaven. Once that has been done, Jesus then gives us the six petitions that then guide our prayer times. The first one is, hallowed be your name. That's the first thing I pray for. In other words, on worship, I reach in to adoration. And I look around the world, and I see that the name of Jesus is a swear word. And I know the name of God is often used in blasphemous terms. And what does that do to us? It drives us to pray that the name of God should be hallowed. My second request, thy kingdom come. So from worship to adoration, we then move into a zeal for missions. And we just had the most wonderful missions week. It was fantastic being here. It was wonderful sharing with our missionaries and seeing what God is doing here in Pinetown and here in South Africa and right to the ends of the world. It's wonderful. You see, thy kingdom come. And how can the kingdom of God be extended? Only as God reaches into the lost and they give their lives to Christ. And so straight away, I begin to pray for Roger Bender in Japan. And straight away, I pray for James and Dawn in Mozambique. And I begin to pray for Richard and Bill in India. And for Vonnie and Greg in Paraguay. And all of our missionaries that are in our prayer calendar. We pray for them every day. We pray for Pam in the prisons. And we pray for Mel in Campus Crusade for Christ. And we pray for Leanne in Belgium. We pray for Ria over there with Open Doors. We pray for Jeremy and his work. Friends, why do we do that? Because that's what Jesus wants us to do. Thy kingdom come. And my third request. From worship to adoration to missionary zeal, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I've come to the place where I abandon all self-interest in myself. And the overwhelming desire in our lives is thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means not only in earth but in my own life. I only want to do God's will. Where does God want me? What does God want? What does God do? Friends, let's pray. Teach us how to pray, Lord. I'll show you. Our Father. Then pray, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What struck you? I'm sure it did more than to me. I'm positive of that. He said it's all God-centered. Isn't it? It's all God-centered. Listen to so many prayers that I pray. They're all self-centered. Sometimes just listen to yourself pray, baby. It's always self. It's always me and mine. But not here. Here it's different. Here is all God. Thy will be done. Thy name be hallowed. Thy kingdom come. And so you and I, as we love Jesus, we are caught up with God. Now tonight, we come to the second division. 4, 5, and 6. From God, we now turn to ourselves. Give us this day our daily bread. Next Sunday night, we'll do and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then the third one will be, and lead us not into temptation. So just let me show you how fantastic that is. What are we praying? When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, that's for the present. It's for our physical needs. When I pray, forgive us our sins, that's for my mental needs. And the things of the past, those mistakes I've made. And then the third one will be, and lead us right into temptation, that will deal with the future and the spiritual battles that you and I go through. So it begins with the outward ones, and it moves through sin, it then moves through conflict, it moves through temptation, and finally, when we pray according to the prayers of Jesus, we will be caught up with praise. So it's going to speak about my present need for daily bread. So going to speak about my past failure and the need for forgiveness, and it's going to anticipate my future trials, lead us not into temptation. The Lord has said for me, as I listen to this prayer, and I look into my own life, I say to myself, worried, how little you pray. We rush our prayers. Well, what does this mean? Give us today our daily bread. The outline is up there for you. The first thing I want you to be struck with is that little word give. Well, that sounds crazy, doesn't it? Well, it seems like a trance. After being caught up with God, His kingdom, His name, give us. But you see, we are reminded, our dear friends, that Jesus said, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. And so we become so conscious of our absolute dependence on God for everything. We are dependent on God for everything. That's what we are expressing here. In front of us is temptations. In front of us is conflicts. In front of us there are different needs. And yet, Jesus said, when you start, remember, God is your Father. And in Redpath, we went to be with the Lord some years ago, but he wrote a lovely book on the Lord's Prayer, taught me a lot. He said, the Father whom we have worshipped, the kingdom for which we have prayed, the will for which we have longed, we now depend on him for us all. You know what, friends? You and I are absolutely dependent on God for everything. Everything, even your very life, is in the hands of God. The other thing that you are so aware that the Lord gives is that it expresses our deep conviction that God is able to answer our prayers and to meet our needs. Of course he can. He's our Father. He's our loving Heavenly Father. We don't pray to overcome some reluctance that he's got. We don't want to bend his will to our will. Not at all. We are coming as his children to a Father who is able to meet our every need. And you know, we have to pause here tonight. And just say, each one of us, you just stand up there for every one of you here tonight and say, you know what? I want to tell you how God provides for me. Can't you do that? Sure you can. Pay school fees, pay varsity fees, as far as financial starts, say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to cover my life more at the end of the month. How God provides. You know, for what, just a small thing to encourage you. I think it was more the times in which we're living, a whole lot of things worked together. Between Mary and I first went to Maritzburg, the church grew very, very quickly. And it took us by surprise, and we didn't know how to cope with it. But it was quick and big. So we quickly had to extend the building. So we thought, well, we don't want to spend money, I don't want to spend money on buildings. Push the wall back. So we bashed on the back wall, and as far as we could go, and we had no money. So I said, let's do it. And we just see how the Lord will help us. So gradually, week by week, we collected money. We put up the walls, and we put in the windows, and we put on the floor, but we couldn't put in the roof. And I was going back to the 70s. That was going to cost us 500 grand. So that's the 70s. We could change that. So what I said was, we better pray. So we called the church and we prayed for a week, every morning from half past 5 to half past 6. Just asking our Father. And it was quite amazing. And I say this only to encourage you. We got a letter, funnily enough, the next week from a lady. I don't know, maybe some of you know. I've never met her. Her name was Miss Smythe. And she said, I visited your church while I was visiting my family. And I would just like to give you a little token of my appreciation. And you won't believe it, friends. It was 500 rand in pounds then. And we just converted it. You know, there have been other bigger requests and bigger things answered, but I was starting off in the work. I'll never forget that. That God said, I'll look after you. I will provide your every need. Give us this day. The second word that strikes us, doesn't it, is the word us. Doesn't it? It doesn't give me my need. That's not how we pray. It says, give us this day our daily bread. You know, it's first of all, it guards against all self-centeredness. So we become conscious that we are part of the family of God. I may remember that there's a friend down the road who have got retrenched. And I pray for them. I remember a missionary. In India, they sent us their prayer requests. For those of you who ever want to get there, Jonas sends out a marvelous prayer letter once a month. I'd really encourage you to get hold of that, because that gives us up-to-date information on all our mission. You see, give us, so now I must pray for them. They've got needs. I've got some neighbors with needs. I'll pray for them, not just myself. Give us. Maybe even tonight, if someone that you know is in great need, we pray for them. And so it encourages prayer for others. And not just praying for ourselves. Thirdly, give us this day. Spirit doesn't talk about tomorrow. Because that's how Jesus often teaches us in the New Testament. We are not to be anxious about tomorrow. Jesus says, therefore, take no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry about tomorrow. Leave tomorrow in the hands of God. The Spirit is saying, give us this day our daily bread. It's today. What do I need today? And even tonight, my brothers and sisters, as we meet together as a family of God, it's not tomorrow's need, it's a need for you right now. That's what you're encouraged to pray for. You see, one of the big things that it reminds me of is that yesterday's strength is useless for today. We need to make it fresh. It's the same principle of growing as a Christian. You see, I can't bank on what God did for me in the past. The Christian life is fresh. You see, you and I ought to be able to share with each other that this is what Jesus said to me this morning. This is what I got about reading this morning. This is the book I'm reading now. This is how I'm going now. A lot of Christians are living in the past. The Christian life is now. Our destiny is not to be out of date. It's never to become stale. It's never to become sour. It's fresh. I love reading diaries and biographies. And soon after he was converted, George Whitfield in his diary wrote these words. Can I quote them to you? He says, my own heart is now open and enlarged. And I began for the very first time to read the Bible on my knees. I lay aside every other book, and I began to pray over every word and every line. This proved to be meat indeed for my soul. And every day I received from God fresh light. Fresh light and fresh power every day. You can never backslide or grow cold or grow apathetic like this every day. You say, I'm not living in the past. I'm not focusing on tomorrow. I'm living for now. Jesus said, that's how you pray. You begin with adoration. And you get caught up in worship, in missionary zeal, in a passion for the will of God. And then you focus on your needs for today with the needs of others. And lastly, our daily bread. That's what we pray for. Martin Lloyd Jones put it so nicely when he said, Father, this is meant to cover all our material needs, everything that is necessary for our lives in this world. What do you need today? Not just money. Maybe something else that you really need to be effective for God right where you are. This encourages prayer for our necessities, not our wants. It's our daily bread. It encourages contentment. We become very content in life. Whatever God has given us, we're grateful for. We don't want any more, nothing less. Absolutely, or we've learned to be content. Godliness with contentment is a huge gain, especially in the materialistic time in which we're living. We always get more and more and more. We're not like that. We're just looking for our daily bread. So it's a prayer for necessities. It encourages contentment, and it's a massive safeguard against covetousness. Jesus said, when you pray, give us this day our daily bread. That's for the present. That's for my needs today. May I encourage you. You've got a loving Father in heaven. The times in which you are living are difficult and tight. All of us parents, things are not tight or not easy like they used to be. We've got a Father who says to us, call unto me, and I'll answer you. I will look after your every need. Every need. Our responsibility is to ask. Oh, friends, I hope that slowly you and I together are finding such marvelous times as you begin to pray properly. Let's pray together as we close. Father, as we find our way home, please help us all to be more disciplined, to find more time, not to run around and be busy doing all sorts of things, but time to be with God. We look into the past and see the people that you've used amazing over the years to change history. They've always been men and women who spent time in prayer. We don't hear that too often in the churches. A lot of emphasis on lots of other things, but not always on prayer. We tonight come to you, precious Father, and say also, teach us how to pray. Please forgive us for our coldness, our apathy, our wrong priorities. And oh, Father, gracious God, I just want to thank you. Since you saved my life, for these 42 years, I've never wanted a thing. I want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. For being such a wonderfully kind and amazing God. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.